Before I read the verse that my part of this evening is talked on, I'd like to ask you a question. What do you think of selfies? Are selfies an indication of the extent of the fall of our civilization? Or are selfies merely the end of a technological string of advances that allow you to do things? Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Now, did he mean technologically? Or was he actually talking about people and God? Because at the end of Proverbs, no, at the end of Ecclesiastes, he said, and this is the end of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole purpose of man. I have to assume he was meaning the relationship between God and man. There's nothing new. So, selfies is just an indication of what humans can do. Have you ever thought selfies are not modern? How old are selfies? Well, if you count the statues by Sumerian kings, it's probably over 5,000 years old. Or if you don't like that, then Rembrandt painted self-portraits. He painted a bunch of them, so 400 years old. I'm getting there. Okay. If people haven't changed, but things allow us to take selfies, it just means that we've always been intent on ourselves. Okay. Now, this is Sunday night crowd. You know that. You've read Genesis. You understand why we're like we are. But we're facing people today that don't understand that and don't even accept the Bible because they haven't been taught. They don't see the Bible as different than anything else. So that changes the way we need to interact. Okay, can you put the slide up? Is it already up? Okay, let's see if you recognize these questions. What's the first one? Why am I here? At some point, all human beings are going to ask themselves something like this. If you don't believe it, look at Google. People are still asking this. What's the alternative question you get with this? What am I doing here and how did I get here? Okay, let's go to the next big question. Let's just do all the questions. Why are there so many beautiful things and so many horrible people? And by the way, I, whoever's asking the question, am not a horrible person. It's everybody else. Hey, selfies. And it's no different than all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Everybody else is wrong. I'm okay. Okay, what's the next one? Why are things so mixed up? That's just an alternate question. Next one. Got another one? There we go. Why do bad things happen to good people, meaning me? Shouldn't everything be right? Why does everyone, even I, have to die? That's not right, is it? I'm different than animals. I am different. Why should I die? I mean, why? Okay, next one. Is this all there is? Or the alternate, what happens to me after I die? And let's go to the last one that I wrote. There are lots more, by the way. This is next to last. Why can't I get what I want? And if there is a God, where, who, what is he? And by the way, today that would be she, possibly. Or if there is a God, why isn't he talking to me? Y'all already have the answers, right? You can quote scripture. But if you're facing someone who doesn't even accept that the Bible has any more relevance than some other supposed holy book, what are you going to do? Okay? This is where self-study comes in and how it has changed in the last 50 years. You need to be able to get to their questions. If someone comes to you, and we hope, as the quote in 2 Peter, which Adam's already read, Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. See, they should see us as so different than anybody else, confident and certain in what we do and how we live, that they want to know why. So, but we have to be able to get them to the point that we can teach them the Bible. So, nowadays, just like Barry talked about this morning and Roy talked about in class, you need to be able to start in the Bible itself and show these folks the Bible says this is why, but also the God who says this proves this by saying 2,000 years before anything happened, I'm going to do this. I'm going to send a Savior. 3,000 years. I'm going to do this, and it will be marvelous in your sight. And then the absolute proof, the center point of all history, which I'm glad we did, by the way, the study of history, the chronological Bible, is because it pointed out that Jesus is the center of this existence. Everything God wanted to do led up to His coming, and since He's been here, everything leads to changing the world or getting people to accept that He's the Savior in preparation for when this existence is over. It's got to be terrible to not have answers to these questions. And the world is lying to us. I mean, it's worse than it ever was because advertisements are implying you have to do something to be better. You have to do this. You have to do that. Just spend money mainly. But the two biggest lies are there is no God, or if there is a God, you can't know Him. The second is more dangerous because it's partially true. A God that created us and everything here, we're not going to be able to understand on our own. He's got to talk to you. And that's that question about if there is a God, why is He not talking to me? When somebody asked that, say, He has been screaming at you for as long as human beings are here. Let me show you what He's got for you. You got to listen. You know, I'm talking when you're talking to these people. You got to let me tell you some things. Because even Philip, when he talked to the Ethiopian eunuch, the eunuch had scriptures, but what did Philip teach him? He went back to Isaiah and taught him about Jesus. You don't just jump in and accept something. Now, the advantage of teaching our children is they know the Bible and they already know the starting point. At some point in their growing up, in all of our growing up, you're going to question, was what this person told me right? How do I know this? If we teach them right when they're young, they can go back and pick up and say, the Bible told me this, but why do I believe the Bible? Oh, yeah, there are eyewitnesses. There are archaeological proofs. And like Roy said this morning, eyewitnesses that would die for what they're telling you. And if you won't accept an eyewitness written down, then throw out all your history books because nothing you're going to be told is worth anything except what you experience. You got to point this out to people. Nothing's any good if all you're going to accept is what you see. Even the Pharisees asked Jesus, by whose authority do you do these things? And of course, He let them stew because they knew where He came from. They just wanted Him to get trapped. We know the authority that we have. And we have to be able, we got to change gears. We've got to be able to talk to these people somewhere that they're not yet. And that we've been for most of our lives. Because you're Sunday night church, right? You know all the answers. And that's not facetious. You know the answers. You know where they are. Now, to 1 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourselves approved, a workman that's not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay. Not just quoting scripture now, but knowing what the Bible internally says that God told us in the Garden of Eden. And I say us. Told us in the Garden of Eden. And then told through all the New Testament, the Old Testament period, and then Jesus himself showed up to prove everything God said. We got to be able to do that. How are you going to do that? Okay, this is the practical part. You have to read, preferably every day. Got to make a habit. Okay. Now, Barry has mentioned YouVerse. All the work is done for you except reading it. You can get on YouVerse. It's got plans to read the whole Bible. It's got plans to read pieces by topic. All you got to do is follow it. Now, the hard part is making time. When you first wake up is great. Your mind's clear. I can't pray at night. I fall asleep. I have to pray in the morning and through the day. But I gave up praying at night. Study in the morning if you can. That's best. Okay? Now, before I gross you out, listen. Bible in the bathroom. In the library. That's my library. That's what the kids called it. You don't take that Bible out. I keep a different one in the car. Spray your Bible off if you want every week. You've got to have a quiet time. You've got to be able to concentrate. And that's the next part. You've got to take what you read and see how it applies to you, because we believe in the God of creation who knows more than we do, and everything in there is useful for what? For reproof, for teaching. I mean, he said it. It's all there. You got to use it. And you got to think about it, and we may not hear the still small voice in our ears, but the scripture speaks to us, says it does. You've got to give time to let that small voice get what you've read inside you, so then you can live it. Okay. I had lots more, and it just... The whole point of this is to get you to change gears if you can. Shift up. We're going faster. We got people that don't listen as long. We got to be sharper. We got to be able to get to them and get an answer that will get them to listen to us. But God has promised that the Spirit, that His Word will not return to Him void. It is more powerful than anything in this life. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's not so much an offensive weapon. It's not to cut people up. It's to separate good and evil in a person. The spirit, it says, spirit and soul, separating sinew, marrow. The Word of God is what everyone has to have, and we've got it. We got to make sure they'll listen to it. Thank you.